Good evening.
This week we'll be briefly meditating from Proverbs 10th chapter. We'll have a word of prayer and meditate. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed time, Lord, to come to your presence. Lord, we are not deserved, Father, to come to your presence, Father. Thank you for your Son, Lord. Lord, with whom, through whom, Lord, we are in your presence, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed assurance and presence in your blessed presence, Lord. Lord, thank you for helping us, and thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives, Father, as we are going to meditate, Lord. Proverbs 10, Lord, empty my mind, Father. Lord, you speak through us, Lord. You speak through your church, your body, Lord, that you bought with your precious blood, and nurture us, Father. Lord, thy word is, Lord, light to our paths, and it's a lamp to our feet, Father. Lord, help us to keep your words and your word in our hearts and live accordingly, Father. Thank you, and I ask all these things in the mighty name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Detailed precepts from Proverbs 10th chapter. Apostle Paul, while writing to saints in the Corinthians, right, he mentions your letters written by the Spirit of God. Letters means epistles. So normally letters means these things, right? Normally people, they open and read and whatever there, right, that reflects whoever communicating. So we are letters, epistles of Christ, that is the letter written by the Spirit of God. In the 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter 2, 2nd and 3rd verses, it says, you are epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of flesh, that is of the hear. Clearly, right, Paul is writing to the saints, not only the saints in Corinthians. This is applicable to us as well. We are living in this world where apostle and a lot of people, non-believers especially, not only non-believers, even believers, right, they check how they check and see our behavior, attitude, how we are speaking, how we are living. Everything, right, since we are the ambassadors of Christ, is supposed to be blameless, spotless, and holy, not only in front of the men, especially in front of our Lord. Main points, definitely this Proverbs, right, Proverbs is nothing but they're all the general truths, ground realities based upon the observation from the King Solomon, right? He mentions all these Proverbs, and that would help us to check our conduct, behavior, because being a Christian, right, we're supposed to be role models and with the high moral standards. Main points, part of this Proverbs chapter 10, right, we'll be checking the introduction part, wisdom versus foolishness, and righteousness versus wickedness, diligence versus laziness, integrity versus crookedness, love versus hatred, destroying lips versus many words, summary and conclusion. There are total 32 verses in this chapter 10. All together, I segregated based upon the quality, right? All these points, one by one, we'll check. King Solomon's Proverbs, they are from his own observation. Being a wisest king, no doubt, just if we give a clue to him, right, he can grasp and he can tell what is there. So that is the God's given wisdom based upon the observation in his kingdom or in his life, right? He's writing all these Proverbs. Chapter 1 to 9, right? Some portions, they're orchestrated very well, but from chapter 10 onwards, it says King Solomon's Proverbs, all these precepts, right? Definitely that would help us to check our daily life, daily Christian life. They're all general truths that are given to govern our life and conduct. And antithetical parallelism, poetry. Normally in American or in Indian history, right, we use for the poetry more rhymes and all. But here for the Hebrew culture, right, they use parallelism. There are so many types of parallelisms, but here King Solomon, right, he's highlighting, taking the two ideas and joining together using some conjunction words and or but. But mainly this chapter 10, right, it will be, he'll be, King Solomon using the parallelism, antithetical parallelism. Many Proverbs shows us a contest between doing righteousness in wisdom and doing wickedness in foolishness. Wisdom versus foolishness, the first contrast, right, between the wisdom and folly. Folly means foolishness. First verse it says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. That's what here if you see, right, wise son and foolish son, this son, King Solomon, he's joining this conjunction, but both are right, same thing, but in the contrast. So this is the first contrast we can see from chapter 10. The best example, Solomon himself is a very wise son to King David and his mother Bathsheba. No doubt when God given the knowledge and wisdom to King Solomon, when he wished for it, right, God gives him. Nowhere mentioned in the Bible, but I'm sure that King David and mother, right, they may be very happy after seeing that his son is very wisest and wise king. And in contrast to it, if we see the foolish son, right, Esau was when 40 years old, right, he marries the Gentile woman. He took as wives Judith as daughter of Beeri the Hittite and Bathsheba the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were grief in mind of to Isaac and Rebekah. Genesis 26:34. See, we are seeing complete contrast with the Solomon and Esau, how they are bringing different feelings to their parents. And one more wisdom related verse 8, it says, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Timothy is the best example. This is from 14th verse. Wise people store up knowledge. Timothy, from his childhood onwards, right, how he memorized all the holy scriptures from his mother or grandmother, right? We can see that is what wise people, they do. They store up the knowledge. In contrast to it, right, foolish, their mouth is near destruction. Their life and their ways are, right, they leads to the destruction. And some more about righteousness versus wickedness. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Example, if you take, right, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Gehazi, after Naaman, right, he healed. Elisha healed Naaman, no? He thought of giving gift to prophet Elisha. But Elisha, right, he refused. When he refused, right, and then when he goes back to his country Naaman, Gehazi, he ran away behind Naaman and asks on behalf of his master. He takes the gift. Whatever the treasures, right, he got nothing. He got nothing apart from leprosy. So treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Few more examples on this one. Rich fool, this parable by Jesus. This rich man, right, no doubt he is very rich, but same time he is foolish. The reason is he is having so much treasures and he is expanding his bands. But unfortunately, right, Lord asks, Luke 12:19 says, and I will say to my soul, this is himself, rich man talking himself, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? This is very sad. He could not save his soul alone, but he is rich man. So that's why he is foolish, and foolish profit nothing. Some more examples for the righteous people. Noah. We all know about Noah, right? In the flood, only Noah's family alone got delivered from that great flood. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they're all right people. We know how God protected them from the lions, and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego from the furnace. So this is the righteous delivers from the death. God protects the righteous people. Blessings are upon the head of the righteous man, But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. This is verse 6. And the memory of the righteous man is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. This is from the verse 7. We will see one by one in the coming slides. The mouth of the righteous man is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The wages of righteous man lead to life, the income of the wicked man to sin. This is from the verse 16. Righteous soul will not starve. This is from the third verse. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desires of the wicked. So the example here, right, Elisha, how the ravens fed him, right? The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. 1 Kings 17:6, that is. So Lord God takes care of his people, righteous people. And second good example, David and his soldiers, right? When they were hungry, they brought the villagers, they brought honey, butter, sheep and cheese that was made from cow's milk. They brought all that food for David and his people to eat. They said, these people have, this means David and soldiers, have become tired. They have become hungry and thirsty in the desert. Memory of the righteous is blessed. This is from the seventh verse. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The best example is our Lord Jesus. Remembering Jesus every Sunday, right? We remember him. We remember whatever he has done on the Calvary, right? And also we remember his second coming. So memory of the righteous is no doubt is blessed. And also most of the times we remember even Mary of Bethany when she comes with the alabaster oil spikenard, and when she anoint the feet of Lord Jesus, right? Even that also we remember. So the memory of the righteous is blessed. Righteous has an everlasting foundation. When the wild wind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. This is the 25th verse. And the good parable by Jesus from Matthew 7th chapter 24 to 27. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows, it is wise like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus is telling this parable. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows, it is wise like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on the bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When the wind right passes, righteous people, right, they stand forever, and Lord protects them. The Lord is the one who given them the strong foundation. There are so many qualities and the consequences and the benefits being righteous man. Verse 2 says, delivered from death. We saw Noah, how he got delivered. Noah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. This is the second words. And have their needs met. God takes care of them. God feeds them. God provides all the provisions. That is from the third verse. Have blessings on their head. Probably the font is very low, but I'm just reading. Righteous people, right? Righteous men have blessings on their head. God blesses them. God gives them. I mean, God blesses them and provides all the spiritual blessings. No doubt that because of the blessings, they are rich. Rich in the sense, we are rich in the heavenly places, spiritual blessings. Their legacy blesses them. Memory of the righteous people, right? Everybody, they remember them, and then their legacy also, offspring, they remember them and blesses others. That is from the seventh verse. And 11th verse says, righteous people, they speak beneficial words. And 16th verse, it says, have wages that led to life. And 20th verse says, have tongue of choice silver. 21 verse says, righteous people say things that help people. 24th verse says, all righteous people are granted their desires. God provides all their heart desires. 25th verse says, they are established forever. We saw how God established it because their foundations are strong. 27th verse says, fear the Lord. Righteous people, basically they fear the Lord and they show the reverence to Lord. 28th verse, they have joyful hopes because we are waiting for him to see our Lord, and also we have our assurance, blessed assurance, that no doubt that gives us the joyful hopes. 30th verse, it says, we live forever, righteous people, right? They live forever in eternity. And then 31 verse says, speak works of wisdom. Always righteous people, they speak works of wisdom. By seeing these qualities, right, we can say whether we are righteous or not. In contrast to righteous, right, we have wicked. All these so many qualities against for the wicked people. They gain treasures that do not profit. That is the second verse. Crave but do not receive what they crave. Verse third verse. Have mouths that conceal violence. And verse 7 says, leave. Wicked people, they leave a legacy that rots. So 11th verse, mouth full of violence. They speak always violence. And 16th verse, they live in sin. 20th verse, they have small hearts, narrow-minded. And 21st verse, die for lack of sense. 24th verse, they will receive the things they dread. 25th verse, are easily swept away when the wild wind comes, right? 27th verse, they live short years. 28th verse, wicked people do not get to see the things they hope will happen. And 30th verse, they do not receive the life that God has for them. 32 verse, perverse things they say. These are all the qualities of wicked. And then one more, diligence versus slothfulness. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. This is the fourth verse. And he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps at harvest time is a son who brings shame. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. These are all the duties of ants. They gather the food during the summer time and then they preserve. The best example is Joseph. Joseph, right, when the plentiful 7 years, he gathers all the grain, and then we know how they lived after in that famine 7 years. So that's what the diligent people, wise people, they do. They gather in summer, whereas the slothful, lazy men, right, they sleep, and also they do not know what is going to happen. Integrity versus crookedness. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He walks in integrity. Being a Christian's right, integrity means the sincerity, the promptness. If we are climbing, we are Christians, and in our offices, right, going to late office or whatever the assigned work, right, not meeting the targets, and all, it gives the wrong impression, because we are ambassadors of Christ and we should be role model. So being a Christian's right, we should have the integrity. So that gives us no need to fear. When we maintain that integrity, right, we know King David is a man of integrity. So that no need to fear to anybody. It walks and gives us a security. In contrast to that, the crooked people, right, they pervert in his ways, and that will be known to all the people. The main thing is love and hatred. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Transgressions means breaking the law, breaking the rules. Best example is Jesus, how he covered all our sins, right? Multitudes of sins he covered, and he bore our sins, and then we all know that. We remember every Sunday. But here, right, especially if we come to the practical life, right, when we know, especially to the young people, girls and boys, right, in schools, when we know somebody mistakes, right, we go and gossip or we rumor, we tell, we damage their life or we damage their character. When we are, and that's what, when the true love, right, it covers, it hides them, it will not tell, it will not make you to tell. The second command, the second commandment that Jesus given, love your neighbor like yourself. How we are loving ourselves, right? If the same mistake, if our daughter or son, they do, right, we will not tell to anybody. We cover it and we keep it with us only. So that's what, love covers all transgressions, not exposing the mistakes of our our neighbors, daughters or sons or neighbors, including neighbors. So it must die within us. Once we come to their mistakes, right, it should be with us only. It should die within us. It should not go out. That's what love covers all. The best example is Jesus. Jesus, right, so many mistakes we did, so many sins, but nowhere he's blot out every all sins, right? No, he's not going to remember all our sins. Love will cover a multitude of sins. This is from Apostle Peter. 1 Peter 4:8 says, love will cover multitudes of sins. And then restrained lips versus many words. When there are many words, transgression does not cease. But he who restrains his lips is wise. This is about the tongue, untaming tongue. James, right, 3rd chapter, he clearly says about the danger of tongue. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. 6th verse, James 3rd chapter 6th. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire. We should be very, very careful. Being a wise people, right, we must know when to talk, when not to talk. If we speak, right, that should be the words of wisdom or wise. Summary and conclusion. The main prominent words in this Proverbs chapter 10, right, only two words mainly. I literally counted righteous, right, it mentioned 14 times, righteous. And then wherever righteous is mentioned, right, they mentioned about the wickedness. But mainly two words, wisdom and righteous. These two are prominent words from chapter 10. We must be persons of right by following the godly standards. Our standards are very high being a Christian. So whatever we do, right, it should be upright. Right person is one who loves Christ, pursues after him and lives a life of denying himself. While living upright life, right, we face a lot of challenges, but we have to deny ourselves. Uncle was telling last Sunday how we have to deny. Cross is one way. Once it takes, right, we should die to it. Crucifying the things, ourselves, our natural man, old man, and our character, whatever we have from the birthright, while living the right life, definitely we face, and once we come to know that, we have to crucify them. We have to crucify all those things and putting them on the cross. Must know that we are pilgrims and aware of the eternal destiny, live a life accordingly. We are all pilgrims. We saw King Solomon. I referred so many, Noah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and also Gehazi, all these things, right? Nowhere. Those people also, they are pilgrims. But I know a pilgrim, he lived a very short life. Just 33.5 years he lived. He is full of wisdom, very right, righteous, and he shown the exemplary life. So that pilgrim is nothing but our Lord Jesus Christ. He's shown us the standard, moral, all high standards. 2000 years, almost 2021 years over, the challenge what he made to Pilate, right? Can anyone find fault in me? Can anybody find sin in me? 2000 years over, nobody found fault. Follow him. He is our example. May our good God give us the holy life, spotless, blameless, and help us and to glorify in our lives. Amen.